listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And I'm your host for today's program, Peggy Hartshorn of Heartbeat International, that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. Well, you know, when it comes to pregnancy help and all of the pro-life issues that I'm involved with, one of the things that we always come back to is the strength of the family. What is the strength of the family? And in any pregnancy-related situation, that's a very important issue. And it is in any kind of issue that we're facing. What about the strength of the family? And of course, one of the key factors is what is the strength of the couple, of the father and the mother in that family? And that's very crucial as we think through our subject matter for the Family Sanctuary, because the mission of our show is really to help strengthen the family so that they become sanctuaries of life as God intended. And we've got a really good program for you today, because we're going to be focusing on just that core issue. What is the strength of the couple, the father and the mother in the family, and how can that become even stronger? Because I think we all realize the stresses and strains on our coupleness today, on the marriages today, is massive. And so how can we really strengthen our couple relationships? And what tools are available? What helps are available? And to talk about that today, we have a very interesting couple, Mike and Kim Roberts. I'm going to actually let Mike introduce them as a couple. Mike and Kim are currently involved in leadership in Worldwide Marriage Encounter here in the diocese. But Mike, before I ask you more specific questions related to relationship and tools that you two are familiar with and have developed, just tell us a little bit about you and Kim.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, like you said, we're Mike and Kim Roberts. We've been married about 22 years. We go to the Church of the Resurrection in New Albany and have one son, 13 years old. Like you said, we're currently the area leaders here in the Columbus area for Worldwide Marriage Encounter.
Well, when did you make your Marriage Encounter weekend, Mike?
We made it in February of 2008.
February of 2008, so that's been about 8 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And how long had you been married at that time?
Approximately...
What? 22 minus 8?
Yeah, 14 years.
Okay, I'm trying to do that in my head.
14 years. Right, so we're 14 years we were there. Yes.
That's great. Well, my husband and I made, full disclosure, we made a Marriage Encounter weekend in October of 1978, and we had only been married 9 years at the time. Now we've been married 47 years. And you would think that that would be a distant memory, that October 1978. But it's not. That was a turning point in our relationship. And even today, although we've been married 47 years, you'd think we would have it all together, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we still go back to the tools that we learned on that Marriage Encounter weekend. And in fact, we have a group of couples that made the weekend around the same time in the late 70s, early 80s, that we still meet with every month if we can. That's our goal, to really remember, to talk about those tools, to share with each other what is happening now in our relationship. And have we fallen back into some of those bad habits?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it demands constant work, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Your relationship.
Mm-hmm. And that community is so important, to have other couples around who know what we're talking about and can hold you accountable almost for the things we learn on the weekend and how to continue using them.
Right. Well, we can talk a little more as we go along in the program about what Marriage Encounter does offer in terms of even follow-up and community. And although my husband and I are not directly involved in the Marriage Encounter community now, some of our best friends are the people that we met through Marriage Encounter. They do hold us accountable. It's a beautiful thing. Well, one of the concepts that we want to focus on today from Marriage Encounter that we think is so important, as I've brainstormed with Mike and Kim on what we could talk about here, something that I think all couples probably listening can relate to is this feeling sometimes of, in regard to their relationship, is this all there is? Is this all there is?
Right.
Yeah. You can relate to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And in Marriage Encounter, sometimes we talk about that as a stage of disillusionment. And it is so common in marriages. Mike or Kim, would you like to share a little bit about the cycles that that are normal in couple relationships, and this feeling of is this all there is?
Absolutely. The stages we talk about on the Marriage Encounter Weekend include the honeymoon phase, which is obvious shortly after you're married. Before kids come along, often it's easy to stay connected and be just a couple. Go do things together and not feel like you're being pulled in 3,000 different directions.
And look forward to times where you can just be together as a couple.
Absolutely. Rushing home from work to spend time together, making time on the weekends and when you have days off to do special things. The second phase that you mentioned already, we call disillusionment, and that's when life gets in the way. Often after children are involved or when jobs become very demanding, if you're building a career, it's when the couple kind of starts to disconnect and grow apart a little bit. And that's when you get to, is this all there is? When you get to the bottom, basically you hit rock bottom in your relationship and wonder, is there anything else? Is this what it's always going to be like?
I didn't think it was going to be this way.
Exactly.
When we met and fell in love, and when we were in the honeymoon phase, or Right. Even if you don't use those terms, it's not like it used to be.
Right.
And what are some of the things that couples are thinking? I mean, why doesn't he notice me?
Right. Where's the attention? Where's the affection? Where's the energy that he or she used to have for the other?
Where's the attraction? Where's the sexual relationship? You know, where is the caring for each other, that gentleness that maybe you had, hopefully you had in the beginning? Mm-hmm. I see both of you shaking your heads here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from the beginning, excuse me, when you're in the romance stage, when you first meet and you have all these expectations of what marriage is going to be like when you decide to get married. And then when you get into that situation, you see where later in your marriage that, hey, some of these things aren't really what I thought they would be. Mm-hmm. And it kind of leads to the disappointment, which kind of moves toward the disillusionment,
mm-hmm.
because you're not really experiencing what you thought you would experience, what your marriage would be like.
Right, yeah. What you dreamed of.
Right, right.
Even if perhaps you went through some disillusionment, even in your engagement period or your romance period, yeah, there were times
you do.
Yeah, there were times maybe when you were disappointed in the other person, but that romance still came back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Comes
very
back
quickly.
Very easily, yes,
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Mm-hmm. So for you, would you share, when did you hit that disillusionment stage, and what was it like for you?
I think we began... We were married, let's say, for 9 years before our son was born.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a pretty long honeymoon phase. The romance was there pretty intensely for several years. And when our son was born, it became difficult for us to continue paying that close attention to each other because he was a baby, obviously needed attention, needed our time. I was not working at the time, so didn't have much of an outlet until Mike got home from work. Then I would leave or go do something around the house and he would take care of our son, which is all well and good.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't focusing on our relationship.
You were glad to escape from all the childcare.
Absolutely. And that's not to say I don't love my son, obviously. Mm-hmm. It is to say that he needed all of my attention while Mike was at work and I needed to go do something else when Mike got home.
Right.
So,
and Mike was willing to take that responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He looked forward to it.
Yeah, I'd come home and I would just focus on our son, Daniel. So it was, and then Kim would go on her way and then she would come home later and we would talk a little bit and then it's bedtime. So it kind of got into that, slowly got into that routine.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really realize that you're kind of getting into that routine, but then you finally get there and say, wow, we're just we're just in this routine.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting how children, I can relate in Mike's and my relationship, they absolutely demand your attention.
Oh, sure.
You know, particularly babies.
Right.
You know, they're crying, they need to be changed, they need to be fed. You know, they demand your attention. Whereas the spouse can kind of disappear or fade from your attention.
Right.
Very few spouses, and I wish we were more vulnerable to say these things, but very few will say, I need your attention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I miss you. You know,
yes.
I don't feel any attention coming from you.
Right.
I don't feel any care coming from you. But we usually don't say that to each other, do we?
We don't.
You just kind of bury it and move on.
Right.
Because well, you think it's normal.
Yeah.
Because the child needs your attention,
right.
Because the you know, children require supervision, obviously.
You think this is your responsibility
right.
now.
This is what it's going to be.
Right. Yeah. And for some people, it may not be children that immediately cause
absolutely.
The disillusionment. In actuality, my husband and I made our weekend, as I mentioned, when we had been married 9 years. But we made our weekend in 78. Mm-hmm. We adopted our first child in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So we were married for about 7 years before we had our son. But before we adopted our son, we were already in the stage of disillusionment.
Right.
And we were already living that married singles life. And it was really because of jobs at that
right.
point.
Mm-hmm.
We were both really involved in our jobs. We loved what we were doing. We had friends at work. You know, we were excited to go to work.
Right. We were as
yeah,
well.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So we made our lives really on a singles path. Yeah, sure, we got together again in the evenings and had dinner, but then maybe I was a teacher. Maybe I was then grading papers or I was preparing for the next day and Mike might be watching sports or whatever he was doing. On weekends, he would be going off to play golf or whatever. So we were not paying attention to our relationship. And disillusionment can happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it sneaks up on you.
You don't see it coming.
Right.
Absolutely. So that is definitely one of the important concepts of the weekend when couples wake up to the fact that we are living as married singles.
Right.
Right. So what do you have to do when you make this realization? And it's interesting. I want to share with the audience that our guests today, if you've just joined us, are Mike and Kim Roberts. They are a leadership team for Worldwide Marriage Encounter here in Columbus, Ohio, in the Diocese of Columbus. And we're talking about the ordinary stresses and strains in marriages, in families that cause us to separate and start leading these lives of married singles. And then how sad that can be, how disillusioning, and how many couples think, is that all there is? And unfortunately, either they settle into that, thinking this is all there is, and lead kind of a loveless married relationship as time goes on, or they think, maybe I made a mistake. They separate. They could even consider divorce. But there is hope. There is help. You can rediscover what brought you together in the beginning. And that's what we're talking about on today's program. So, Mike and Kim, what happened as a result of the Marriage Encounter Weekend when you learned that you were leading lives as married singles?
There's a tool that we talk about on the weekend called reevaluation. And that is really what the whole weekend is for couples who are participating. It's also something you can use after the weekend to help reset, remember where you were when you were in that stage of romance, the honeymoon stage, and find ways to get back to that. So on the weekend, the reevaluation part comes in when we talk about the disillusionment in the married singles lifestyle. We ask couples to consider their lives at that point in time. And what kind of things are you doing that might be keeping you separate? So when we made our weekend, I was heavily involved with youth ministry programs at our church and was there 3 or 4 nights a week doing good things, but not spending time on our relationship.
Hmm.
And Mike was home taking care of our son, who at the time was a toddler, preschooler.
Right.
And it was easy because he was willing and able to do that. And I was doing good stuff at church and having
right.
a good time getting fulfillment from other relationships. So feeling fed and also not paying attention to Mike and our relationship.
Right. And during that time, I was disconnected from the church. Kim would go, like she said, would go do her volunteer activities, and I wouldn't and go to Sunday Mass, and I would stay home with Daniel. We would not go to Mass together. Mm-hmm. So that kind of put a wedge between us, I think, of the difference between what my faith was and what Kim's faith was at the time.
Hmm.
So I felt really disconnected both from the church and from Kim at the same time during that period of time.
Mm-hmm. And yet, again, you can tell yourselves, I can just hear you telling yourself, well, but I'm watching Daniel. That's important. He'd be mm-hmm. disruptive at Mass. It's nice Kim can go. I mean, you're rationalizing at the same time, I imagine.
Yes. Yes, but there's still some feelings of wow, you know, this is happening, and I really kind of feel left out.
Oh, you
at the
did
time.
Feel
yeah,
mm-hmm.
kind of felt left out. Mm-hmm.
Well, and on my side, I was, like I said, doing good things and being helpful, but still feeling left out of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Daniel could be home, and I didn't need to be there. They didn't right. need me around.
So mm-hmm. so I was doing my thing. Kim was doing her thing. We both felt left out.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, as you're sharing, other couples can probably relate to this. How many people do we see so involved in good things?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's at their parish, maybe the diocese, and in nonprofit organizations. And wow, this is great work. It's wonderful that they're doing it. I'm thinking your story, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, is it kind of an escape from a relationship or a family or a marriage that's not being as fulfilling as it should?
It can be definitely an escape or a almost a substitution. It was in my particular experience, the kids and the adults that I worked with in youth ministry were family at mm-hmm. that point. And we all felt very close, and obviously we were doing God's work, and I was not able to switch my focus to home very easily when I got there. Because Mike was doing such a good job taking care of our son, there was not a lot for me to do.
Hmm. And Mike, thank you for sharing. You shared. You really felt left out of mm-hmm. this other family that Kim had
right.
had developed to
right.
a certain extent.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That. I mean, it's sad when you think how many people, married people, are involved in these wonderful activities, and thank God that they are sharing their gifts
right.
for the church with the youth, with parish activities. And yet at the same time, their own marriage is under stress, and they may not even realize it. You at the time, you did realize, apparently. I mean, you felt sad or you felt left out, but you didn't know how to share those feelings. Is that what?
I would say that's a good good description of where we were. I think on the weekend was when we gained our awareness that was, oh, we are living this married singles
right.
lifestyle. What can we do to make it different?
Yeah, you weren't totally aware of what was happening. The feelings were there.
Right.
But you kept thinking, maybe this is normal. Everybody feels this way.
Is this the way it's going to be?
Yeah.
Is this all there is? Was really one of the thoughts running through my head, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't thinking, what can I do to change it? Because I thought it was going to be the normal at that point.
Yeah. Well, the way men process feelings is different than
Absolutely.
The way women do, of course. But you had your fulfillment with your son.
Right.
That was a good thing. Again, fathers and sons bonding to the baby. I'm thinking when my husband and I had that realization on the weekend that we were living married singles, and I realized that, and Mike did too, we had settled on the idea, this is all there is.
Right.
This is all there is. But neither one of us would have ever admitted we had made a mistake in getting married in the first place.
Right.
Right.
And we believed for better or for worse, you know, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. So we were going to stick it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But as I look back, I realize, wow, what we would have missed, you
right.
know, in our marriage had we not really understood that God wants us to have more. And that's really, of course, sacrament. Before we do anything else further on the disillusionment stage, let's talk about what is the vision then that you got on the weekend for your marriage. What is that vision of sacrament that somehow, at least my husband and I, missed when we got married in the church? What
right.
is that vision in the church for what our marriage should be?
There's a vision of a couple living a vibrant relationship and putting that relationship first, even before the kids in some cases, who obviously need so much of our time and attention. God wants us to be a vibrant couple first and then to grow our children in the faith and in the church and grow our community in the faith and in the church and support through so many different ministries, all of the other opportunities there are for growth in the church. The marriage, though, is a physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental way to stay connected and have a little church at home. We talk about the little church on the weekends. And supporting each other is part of that. We fell into that married singles lifestyle and stopped supporting each other as much as we were trying to support ourselves. And going on the weekend helped us realize that we needed to support each other and our relationship and to reconsider the things we were doing and how we were doing them so that we could be more effective as a couple.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking we don't want to leave people with the impression that a strong marriage means that people are not involved in the church. I'm glad you said that, Kim.
Exactly.
Because your story involved being involved in lots of church activities.
Right.
But making that a substitute, really, for the
right.
family that you needed to develop at home. But I can remember for Mike and me, the idea of our marriage as a sacrament, that together, that vision of sacrament, an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace, our marriage was a sign of God's grace. We needed to not only strengthen it so that it really was that kind of loving relationship that God intended and self-sacrificing in a beautiful, positive way, self-gift, as John Paul II says. Mm-hmm. But when we do that, that light shines forth into the community. People see it and say, wow, there's something different about that couple or special about that couple. And that brings God's grace, you know, into the world as a whole, not just the small church, the domestic church,
right,
your family, but also into the parish, you know, into the community. But it's God's grace coming through God's love that you have, Mike and Fran, and that I said Mike and Fran because we have some good couples, Mike and good friends, Mike and Fran, Mike and Kim. Excuse me.
That's okay.
I can start calling her Fran, I suppose. I'm not sure she would like that. So.
Mike and Kim, it's that sweetness, that coupleness, that love that I see in you, that again challenges me with my relationship with my husband and reflects that sign of God's love to the world. So we're going to be doing a second program with Mike and Fran, Mike and Kim, and focusing on some of the tools that you use now in your marriage to really help keep with that coupleness. But getting back to the stages of romance, disillusionment, and joy, real quickly, we're coming to the end of our program. But what is that stage of joy that we would love to achieve in our marriage coming out of disillusionment?
The word I was thinking of earlier that I forgot is intention. When I was doing all the youth ministry work early in our marriage, the intention was to find fulfillment in some other way rather than in our marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
After the weekend, and once we realized we were in that stage of disillusionment and living the married singles lifestyle, to get to the stage of joy and maintain it, you need to be aware of the intention involved with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I continued volunteering to some extent, mostly as our son was growing through the PSR program and now in the youth ministry program again. I would volunteer at times when it wouldn't take away from our family time and our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I can continue doing the good things, but the intention is very different.
Yeah.
Mike and I also started doing things at church together. He
yeah.
started coming to Mass with me, which mm-hmm. was the greatest gift for us from the weekend to build our marriage and our family in the church. The intention then became us doing things together. And we did that mostly by staying involved with Marriage Encounter, but also by doing volunteering at church together and letting other couples and our son and our children see us As a couple,
reflecting that sacrament.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. Well, we're going to do another program with Mike and Kim. This program has focused on married singles. We're going to do another program on the tools that can be used to really keep you close and keep that sacrament shining. So thank you so much, Mike and Kim. Mike and Kim Roberts, leadership team for Worldwide Marriage Encounter. We're so happy that you could be with us and sharing so vulnerably about your relationship and how Marriage Encounter and God's grace brought you out of that stage of disillusionment, you know, into the stage of joy. And we'll talk more about that stage in our next program. But I'd like to give the contact information for Worldwide Marriage Encounter. Kim, would you give us the websites?
Absolutely. It's mecolumbus.org.
Okay. Thank you again, Mike and Kim, for being our guests today. And you have been listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with archives at stgabrielradio.com. You can listen to our program, The Family Sanctuary, at 12:30 every Monday and 2 o'clock again on Sundays. So please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti, Spiritus, Veni, Penaria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of your faith.
Well, as a teenager, I didn't really see how relevant religion was in my life. In my early 20s, I began to look at other faiths. Well, I understand as a Catholic that the things that I was given at a very early age, those things never ended. They're still with me. That's what drew me back. Because the Catholic Church is worldwide, there are so many different types of people that come to the Church. And it's a place where I feel accepted for who I am. I'm where God wants me to be. And I feel like my life can be used for what He wants now. And when I came back, I said, Lord, You were waiting for me the whole time with Your arms open wide. And I have come home.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.